Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've gathered us here today to hear your word. Open our hearts where we're callous, soften us. And Jesus, resurrect us. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We just read as the gospel reading the parable of the Good Samaritan. Well, it's really just the parable of the Samaritan, but the way it's been titled is the Good Samaritan. And I think there's a lot going on in this text. Now, if you've heard me over the past 2 years preach, you'll generally hear me divide the law and the gospel. And this is where it really crescendos. This is one of those parables. Well, there are many of them in the Bible, but this is the one where you start to see how the law is not going to help you. How the law cannot create in you new life. That's very hard to deal with, isn't it? You just heard the Deuteronomy reading. Well, if you honor me, I'm going to give you a prosperous life. I'm going to spread your seed. Well, that doesn't happen to everybody who seems to honor God. Sometimes his blessings just fall on those who are not on the right track with him, and sometimes on the ones who are, and then vice versa. And the reason that's given in Deuteronomy is not because God's going to make a deal with you that he's going to be able to prosper you if you just follow his laws, but because it was an impossible demand that only Jesus Christ could fulfill. It was to bring you to Christ himself. And so now we need to look at the Good Samaritan, this interesting parable that Jesus tells. It's actually a discussion, and then he goes into a parable. So here it is. A lawyer comes up to Jesus and says to him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, when the text, it says to test Christ. And the only other person who tries to test Christ is the devil himself in the wilderness. And so he's coming in to accuse Christ. Now, this is not, by the way, I'm not here to pick on the lawyers in the church. So just bear with me. I'm not here to pick on Bill Green or the lawyer Sink, George Sink, or anything like that. But what I am here to do is to tell you this story. And these lawyers are, this is a theocracy in Israel, and they know the Levitical code. And in the law of Leviticus, God tells Israel that they need to love their neighbor. And they need to get along with one another. And in one portion of Leviticus, it actually says, now you need to all need to get along, so you need to learn to love your neighbor. That, the actual word is neighbor. Now, there's a further section where it says you're also to treat a sojourner with love and respect and take him in unconditionally. But it does not say neighbor. So what the lawyer is doing is being what we would call legalistic. But he's not being a legalistic about any sort of gospel. He's being very legalistic about the neighbor. Who is it? Who is it? Because he asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, well, this is easy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Lawyer responds. But when he responds, he's seeking to justify himself. Not by mercy, but by the law. And so Jesus goes into this parable. And he talks about three men who go down the road. One is a Levite, the other one a priest. So one is the rector, the other one's the assistant. And they're walking down the road, down the street, down a little dirt path. And they both find a man suffering. Not just suffering, but it actually says that he's half dead. Wounded. His flesh is torn up. He probably had some open sores with some dirt kicked in him. He was probably absolutely unconscious. And death is right on the doorstep. He's right, it's right there before him. And in another place of the law, there are many reasons why the Levite and the priest decide not to help the man. But let me just point out one, is that in the law, you're not supposed to touch a leper. You're supposed to keep him outside of the camp. And so you can see these two priests walking by, concerned, but yet saying, but I must keep the law to stay righteous. I will not touch this man. And they pass by. Now we're introduced to a third character, the Samaritan. Now a Samaritan was halfway between a Hebrew and a Gentile, a Jew and a Gentile. It is a sect that accepted the five books of Moses, but did not accept the prophets. So they did not accept the full Torah of God, his full counsel, his full word. And in fact, they were seen as outcasts. The Samaritans were seen as people who definitely were not God's chosen people and were definitely not going to inherit eternal life. And it says, but this Samaritan, as he journeyed, saw this man on the ground, and he had great compassion. And so he ends up pulling by with his Toyota, puts the man in the car, stitches him up with Band-Aids, takes him to MUSC, Roper Hospital, and tells him, I will pay for the bill. You continue to take care of him however long it takes, whether it's going to be for a year, whether it's going to be for 20 years, I'll cover this man's bill. So Jesus tells this dramatic story, and then he asks the question to the lawyer who's cross-examining him. He says, so which one of these men truly loved the neighbor? And he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, now you go do likewise. Now, when you first hear this parable, it sounds like this is a moral exhortation from Jesus himself, that he is calling us into putting away put scripture away, put these things away, and just earn your way into heaven through love. Just show mercy to people, and you will be received. But the difference is Jesus knows our human limitations. If we follow this ethical demand, we are to give everything to those who are hurting. And even if you followed that, there would come a time where you would have nothing more to give. And so now you can no longer see yourself as the one whom Christ once has called to be a good Samaritan out of your own strength. You need to know who you are in this story. Many of us here struggle with depression, physical ailment. Some of you here definitely struggle with despair, cancers, events that may have changed your life and caused sickness, broken relationships. You all are certainly not the Good Samaritan, but all of us, including myself, are the man on the ground. We are half dead. We are half dead. And not only are we half dead by the way we've been wounded in this life, but in our sins, Paul says that we are dead in our trespasses. That's what the word says in Ephesians. And you need somebody to come and gather you up. But you can't just have a good Samaritan who can come and give you some good advice on how to love yourself more. You can't just have somebody come and say, well, why don't you just look in the mirror and say, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. Oh yeah, I can get over this depression. Because you know you've tried it, and I've tried it, and you know exactly where it leads, the circuitous route back into the despair that you found yourself in the first place. And so what you need is somebody who is a good Samaritan. And there is a good Samaritan. But there's one who's even better and truer than the Samaritan in this story. One who was an outcast, not because he had deserved it, but one who took on every sin and all of the things that we do that are wrong onto himself, who absorbed it. And he took it to a cross and he nailed it there. And he is the one who comes to minister to you. There is one who's a better Samaritan who does not just give you oil and salve for your wounds, but gives you the water of everlasting life. There is a Samaritan who is a truer and better Samaritan who does not drop you off at MUSC hospital just for a time, but he promises you a home in heaven with him. Jesus Christ is the truer and the better Samaritan. He is the good Samaritan, and he is the only one, he is the only one that can do the likewise request. He is the only one who can actually fulfill the law in its entirety. He is our good Samaritan. He binds your wounds. He takes away all the shame that you've borne throughout your life and puts it onto himself. He's the true outcast who comes to hold you, to have you, and to protect you. He promises to keep you in his arms and take you into everlasting life. He is the true and the good Samaritan. I came into this sermon to give a dedication to Isaiah McPherson. Ike is the nickname for Isaiah. Ike, who passed away a week and a half ago. And there's a passage I want to read to you out of the book of Isaiah. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, the Lord cannot see us, and we're disregarded? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint, nor does he grow tired. His understanding and wisdom is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might and no strength, the one who is on the road, beaten up. It is the Lord that will strengthen him. Even young men will faint and they will grow weary. Young men will fall exhausted. But they who have no choice but to wait on the Lord, their strength will be renewed by him. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I can tell you already, even though I have not talked to Ike, I'm not into calling up the dead, but I am almost pretty sure I know what Jesus' words were to him once he closed his eyes and took his last breath. This is what he heard. Get up. It's all over now. Get up. It's all over. I've claimed you as my own, and now you are with me forever into my loving, healing arms. That's Sally's word too, you know. Jesus saying to her, get up. It's all over now. Come to me. And those are the promising, life-giving, sealed. They're the word of God, you know. They aren't your words that fail. They're God's words. And those are the words of our good Samaritan, Jesus Christ. Picks us up, takes us in his arms. The outcasted king makes us his own, keeps us forever in forgiveness, love, joy, and peace. In the name of Christ, amen.